This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Yesterday, we found out from the FAA that they are looking into yet another near miss at a major American airport. The story goes back to 2 weeks ago on May 9th when two United Airlines jets came to within a mile of each other. In fact, less than a mile of each other, just a couple of miles away from the airport. This is the fourth such incident in the United States in just the last month. What is going on in those control towers? What could the problem possibly be that is allowing these planes full of people to get so close in the skies above our cities? Here to talk about that is our friend Mary Schiavo, who is a former inspector general at the Department of Transportation and now an attorney who works on transportation issues at Motley Rice. Mary, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Do we have too many planes in the air?
No, we don't have too many planes in the air. And you know, that's the first thing that people said after the news came out that, air travel is growing at such a large rate, and we're going to double planes that we have in the sky in the next 20 years. We're going to double the planes that we have in the sky, but most of the growth in terms of number of aircraft is coming outside the United States. It's coming in China, India, other places that haven't had the buildup in aviation that we have had. No, what we have going on here, according to the Office of Inspector General, my old office, is that the FAA has been failing at training, and there's a lot going wrong with their training. The time to train an air traffic controller has grown over 40%. It's gone from approximately under 2 years to 3 years. They have a new work rule in place where they give underperforming controllers amnesty instead of firing them. So they have a cadre of people who haven't succeeded, and they should be shown the door so they can find employment more suited to them. And they also have been underreporting the problem until recently. So it's kind of a triple threat there at the FAA.
So there have been problems in these control towers that were not getting up the chain of command?
Absolutely. In fact, back in 2009-2010, the IG did another investigation, and they found that when you started looking at them and when the reporting changed, they saw a 50% increase in these what they call operational errors. And an operational error is a mistake by an air traffic controller, and you can find them online at the FAA website if you really look. So what the FAA did in response to that first investigation back in of the 09 to 2010 period is what they decided to do then is that they would stop calling them operational errors. Instead, they'd call them operational incidents. So presto changeo, they had no more operational errors. They just called them something else. But then that's when they put in this amnesty program, which it makes it pretty difficult to get rid of an underperforming controller. Witness to that was just last week, the controller who failed to do his job was on the phone, flirting on the phone about a dead cat when the Hudson River midair occurred. He was just given his job back last week. A lot of people blame it on this program called the NEST program. And believe me, that's a feathered nest for FAA employees, not for the flying public, because what happens there is if somebody's underperforming, the FAA has to continue to, try to find them a tower where they can put them or help them along or do something. But the training is really out of whack at the FAA.
So are we not training enough good people to get rid of the incompetent people?
Well, we can't get rid of the incompetent people, and the FAA is warning that they can't train new people fast enough, but while they're training them, the time to train a controller is now expanding exponentially. Like I said, it's gone from 2 years to 3 years, and then while you have all these people in the pipeline and you can't get rid of underperformers and the time to train is expanded, we aren't filling the ranks of new professional controllers fast enough to replace those that are retiring. We had this huge wave of employment after President Reagan fired the controllers who went on a legal strike way back in the early 80s, and that strike was illegal, and he had to fire them. But now, that whole wave of controllers who were hired after that strike are retirement age.
Right. And you know, I'm just thinking about that. That was 1981 when President Reagan Correct. Did that. And now here we are 33 years later. And, of course, those people who came in to replace those guys, they are moving on. And so there has to be a whole new wave of people. And the fact that we're not getting in there. But more, you know, I'm not so much concerned about that we're not training enough people quickly enough. I know that that's a big problem. But the bigger problem to me seems to be people who can't do the job, who are putting lives at risk staying in those towers or, you know, being shuttled off to other towers where, well, you couldn't do it in the big city. We'll put you in a smaller city. That's ridiculous.
That's right. That is. And, you know, and this has been a practice that's gone on the FAA since, you know, since when I was back at the department. And that is when people get in trouble, this is just goofy as heck, but the FAA cannot do a disciplinary transfer and move. In other words, if you're in trouble, well, you and I would just fire an underperformer, but the FAA can't demote somebody and move them. So what the FAA does to people who get in trouble is they promote them and move them. So a lot of controllers who aren't doing their jobs, they've had all sorts of problems in the past, they get, you know, promoted and transferred, and then they get promoted to the lower activity towers often, which means they get a cushy job after they've screwed up. And the problem, and it's on the FAA website right now, they are trying to give promotions and incentives for people to go to the high activity towers. Well, people don't want to go to the high activity towers because it's a greater workload, and so the FAA doesn't manage the workload that it has. And, oh, by the way, remember those 100 or so low activity towers they were supposed to close in the budget cuts with a sequester?
Yeah.
And those people, those slots were needed to populate the busy airports. Remember, we have 16,000 airports, but almost all traffic occurs in about 39 airports. Well, they didn't close a one of them. Not a one of those towers was closed. If anybody's wondering, what happened to the big sequester? Nothing.
Why can't those controllers who screw up be disciplined?
Well, because of this program that the FAA has and the amnesty. So if they screw up and they report it themselves, the FAA gives them complete amnesty. They can't have a disciplinary action for
complete amnesty?
Yep.
I'm wrapping my head around this, and I can't, Mary.
I know. That's, you know, that's a very overused and overworked concept in the United States. Heavens, we give amnesty to everybody for everything, but in the case of an air traffic controller, it's not justified. In the old days, it was three strikes and you're out. If you have three major screw-ups, in other words, you had, you know, three what they call a serious incident, you were out. Now, here's some statistics that are sobering. They had over 4,400 near mid-airs last year. The FAA classified under 50 of them as serious. Any midair, with your TCAS, your collision avoidance system's going off, that's a serious breach of air traffic control separation. But the FAA found, as I said, less than 50 of them were serious.
And by the way, that number is higher than it was several years ago. Now, I'm wondering what this does to the confidence and the trust of the men and women in the cockpits, because they've got to trust that when the controller says, come in now at this angle on 23 left, that there isn't somebody else coming in the same way.
That is the best point here that you have just made, because it is, you know, it's the pilot. The pilots have to report the FAA, because if there's no complaint made, the deal with the air traffic controllers union is that the tapes get erased in 2 weeks. So if nobody complains, then it's like it never happened. And the pilot in the incident at Houston brought it to their attention and said, hey, what just happened here? And then you made a record of it. So the pilots are going to have to start making a record, and they're not going to hurt air traffic control. They're just going to help to make sure that people who can't do it, and, you know, I don't wish anybody ill, but they need to go find a job that they're better at so they have better job satisfaction.
Yeah.
But the pilots have to report it, and if the pilots do that, they're saving their lives, they're saving our lives, and they will help the FAA do a better job. And that's the key to this whole situation, and that's every time their TCAS goes off or they have a near mid-air, they have got to make a record, and their airlines have to back them up. Some airlines don't want pilots rocking the boat. They have to.
In addition to that, and that has to happen, you're right, don't we have to get Congress to change the way the FAA runs this so that we don't have this ridiculous amnesty and promotion plan?
Congress won't touch the FAA. I saw that so many times, and I'd have to be called to the Hill to testify, and they'd say they're going to get tough with the FAA, but they never do. As soon as the media goes away, they just let the FAA percolate along until some horrible disaster happens, like 9/11. Everyone warned Congress that the FAA could not manage airport security. Boom. 9/11, and they stripped it from the FAA. At this point, there's so little left of the FAA. There's 4,000 inspectors. Safety inspectors are important. We need them. And there's air traffic control. Which
but they're
the
not getting
the
job done. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mary, because I'm all out of time, but thank you so much for joining me. It's always great to talk to you. Mary Schiavo. Wow. That was scary.
America, we do.